As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
It is my desire to create a legacy for myself and for my family. So I decided to add Larry Curry to my success team and to my circle of life. He's a part of my first string. It is his job to turn my nickels into dimes and my sweat into equity. Larry has shown me that he has the competency, integrity, and the focus to find a positive direction for my money and consequently that can brighten my future endeavors. So my trust in him and his financial insight has led me to introduce you to him. If you're concerned about your financial future and have not seen real growth in the seeds you have planted, I encourage you to add Larry Curry to your success team. Please contact him at 407-800-4154 so that your financial journey to success can begin.
In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshaies, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
There's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Georgia, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors of boredom. There's hope for all among those loved the most.
This is James C. Deshaies. Shea, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, I can never be sure when we have gotten to a point where there's so much to talk about and there's not enough time. But surely this is one of those times. There is just so much that needs to be discussed, and we need to be able to just fully digest everything that's going on and make sure that we have an opportunity to put everything out there on the table. And so today I'm going to start off and talk about Serena Williams and this new history she is about to, or this new history, a new journey she's about to embark on, while still dealing with a whole lot of mess that I'm not sure where it's coming from or why a particular person is finding it important to get on her nerves at this particular time and place. I think she's about 6 months pregnant, and she'll be having her baby this fall. And she is, without question, one of the greatest athletes in the world, presently or in the past. She has accomplished things that no other person has accomplished, and certainly not at her age. And so why does certain people, McEnroe, find it necessary to make statements about her and her abilities, suggesting that she's number one in the world as a woman, but if she played against men, she'd be 217? And, you know, first of all, there's no way for us to know that's true, one way or the other. But at the top of her game, she can beat almost anybody, regardless of who they are. And why I say that is because tennis is one of those finesse games that can be won without just using power. And this young lady has power and brains. So she very well, if given the opportunity, could probably overcome the power of men, and she is just as quick as well. So I'm not sure why McEnroe at this time is trying to goat her into some kind of confrontation instead of just giving this woman her due, where she is outshining any woman who ever played tennis and has only been derailed because she decided to have a baby. Dee, what is your thoughts in terms of McEnroe just trying to step out there and create this diversion as Serena is getting into the later months of her pregnancy?
Well, you know, good evening, everybody, and hello, James, and another great topic. Well, you know, James, haters do what the haters do. And and hopefully Serena is well-polished enough in her life where she would allow the haters to do what they do and recognize them for what they are. She's still in the spotlight. Her game is still tight. And he's well over the hill. And yes, he's probably in the Tennis Hall of Fame, but his numbers could never match up to hers. So he's doing what haters do. Find somebody to hate on. And there you have it.
You know, it's sad that we don't have the ability here in America to praise people for their accomplishments without throwing stupid stuff in the mix. There is no need whatsoever to compare the woman's game to the men's game. or to compare a specific woman with any specific level of man, because we know that is not how the game is played. But we've always compared specific athletic abilities to other athletic abilities that by saying, you know, it's harder to play basketball, it's harder to play football, whatever, but certainly no matter what your sport, you cannot turn your nose up at the accomplishment that Serena has done. I mean, to be able to play at her level at the age of 35 in and of itself is something that has never been done before. Every time she wins an event and becomes a day older, she becomes the first woman at her age to win a tournament. And it doesn't seem like anyone is in a position to keep her from winning at this point, other than the fact that she's pregnant. So I'm not sure how anybody could make any assertion that she is not one, can't be talked about as one of the greatest athletes in the world at this point in time. And it's just ridiculous that somebody like McEnroe will interject his thoughts when he knows that she's dealt with a lot of other derogatory statements by people when she's also been fighting to get the same money as the men, and the women seem to be more exciting than the men already and get more airtime and are more popular. So certainly is that the reason why you think that maybe McEnroe feels this need to criticize Serena because she's after the same kind of money that the men are making?
Yeah, more likely, that probably is the case. And then being a man,
okay.
How are you doing this evening, Regina?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Did you get to look at any of the material that sent you related to Serena Williams?
Yeah, I saw that. Man, she's something.
So this young lady is taking the world by storm and is being criticized by John McEnroe as would have not been in the top 200 men had she been participating or playing against men. What are your thoughts about why John McEnroe might be making these kind of statements at this time?
Okay, he said, no, I didn't get that. He said, what?
He said that she is the top woman tennis player, but if she was on the men's tour, she would be 217.
Okay, so he doesn't know the difference between a man and a woman. She's a woman, so what?
He's trying to bring her down as to say, you know, yeah, she's good against the women, but we know the men are much better. And I beg to differ that I believe Serena's game is so tight that there are a lot of different men that she could beat without any major problem.
But you know what? Guess what? That's not even a conversation that I would have, because she's a woman. She's a sharp, fine African-American female. Her body is tight. She's healthy. She's doing her thing. She has stood out there after years and years of scrutiny. She and her sister, they used to pick on those poor little girls, talking about their beads, calling them gorillas, all sorts of stuff. Nothing she does will ever be good enough. She is sharp, and I'm so proud to see her on the front of Vanity Fair magazine. showing off her magnificent body, the body that John McEnroe is probably upset that he never could get. And it wasn't because she only wanted black people. It was because her husband or her future is not black. You got to look at what comes behind all this foolery. Oh, no.
Let me just talk to you about the picture, because the picture did take me back a bit. And mind you, I have been a Sarita fan for a long, long time. And to see that picture, I was like, wow. I mean, we just got to the point where we ain't letting nothing go to the imagination anymore. And it is a art for picture. But is this where we are now, that movie stars are just letting it go? And I'm like, whoa, it was.
Look, the white folk have been doing this. The white folk have been posing on Vanity Fair for years, naked, half naked, any way they want to. God knows who to give a body to. He gave it to her, because if he'd given it to me, I'd be on there too. Do it, Serena. I'm proud of you.
Amen.
All right, I'm through with my rant now.
Hey, well, look here. I wanted to bring it up because I'm going to tell you, it made me drop my mouth. So, Dee, what did you think of the picture?
Well, James, I hadn't seen the picture. But
tell
I
the truth,
D.
Shame the devil.
Oh, she's a fine sister now, for real, though. And so, you know, for McEnroe to come out, it got to be because she was, she's getting married to a white man, and he ain't it. And her money and her riches go to him, and he ain't the one. And, McEnroe over the hill in a way, and, you know, he was good, and he wasn't the greatest of the great, but he was good. But, you know, he's always been boisterous, so we have to kind of expect that from him.
Well, you know, I just think that, in all honesty, Serena and Venus have to be some of the most mentally tough people that I ever known in my life. Their ability to overcome what they've overcome despite all the ugliness that has been thrown at them and all the talk that has been thrown at them on a personal level related to their bodies and their hair, and for her to feel comfortable coming out in that picture, I mean, you know, only to late has she been given her just due by some of the popular entertainers, you know, like Jamie Foxx and Hoogly, who always talk so proudly of how sexy she looks. And Jamie wrote a song about her. But I've always said that I thought they were beautiful girls. And certainly I spoke about Serena with somewhat of fear, because I've often said, boy, if she can hit a ball at 110 miles an hour, I would hate to make her mad at me and she needed to slap me, because that girl would knock your head off. And she comes with the kind of power that we see in a lot of black females, and just to be the kind of person she is just awesome. I just take my hat off to her just to be able to take that picture and be so proud that she it exudes, she radiates pride. And oh man, I just it shut my mouth. I tell you, it shut my mouth.
Shut your mouth or it opened your mouth? Which one? Your mouth
hey,
dropped
here,
open.
Shut it and open it at the same time. I mean, boy, look at him. You know, normally me and shy away from having these kind of ideas about pregnant women, but She opens up all your imagination with that picture.
Now, see, now I didn't go there. Oh, my Lord.
I'm not touching none of that.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it. D, don't touch it. He trying to pull you in. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Hey,
my daughter says it's a trap. It's a trap.
Well, I am just telling you, you know, I was just wondering whether it was too, I mean, you know, sometimes when someone says it's too much, they quickly turn the page. But she, you definitely will not turn the page. And because, I mean, I'm telling you, it radiates pride. It radiates respect. And she just has become the kind of woman that embraces her womanhood despite her ability to just destroy people on the tennis court. And so it is amazing who she has become at the age of 35.
James, you know what caught me most about that picture? Her dark skin.
Yeah, what was
skin.
It? Oh,
her
yeah.
Her dark skin. And I was looking at something else a few weeks ago, and the article was talking about these ladies who come from some part of either Australia or Africa, and their skin is actually blue, and they had their pictures in the magazine. They are the most beautiful women, and one of them is an international model. So when I saw her picture, just the pride. That's another reason why these folk can't stand us. We go from one end of the spectrum to the other.
And one of the things I do say about this picture, it should just, you know, it should go further to put the rest that we are somehow willing to embrace our red bone brothers and sisters more than our dark skinned brothers and sisters. And so when I looked at her, not one time did I see anything other than embracing her color, her commitment. And like, you know, they ain't tried to make her chocolate. They ain't tried to change. You know, it was just obvious that they allowed her to be comfortable in her skin. And that was just awesome. You know, it's just, you know, she goes so far to letting us be proud of things beyond just tennis. And I'm just eating it up. I mean, you know, it is just, she's poking out them curves in every direction.
Well, okay, let's get off of that. But, James, D, do you all think, now this is what I'm wondering, and this is what you guys can do respectfully. When you go into the stores, look on the magazine rack. I wonder if they're going to put that in a prominent position on the magazine shelf.
I don't think they have a choice. I don't think they have a choice. I mean, she goes so far to just, I'm just proud of all of that she exhibits. I mean, she is just such a magnificent, and I don't care if her hair is weaved or I don't know how much of that is hers, but she is committed to the pose and to the look, and she can't be made fun of. I know that.
James, you got a little saliva right there, man. You might want to get that.
Hey, look here. If I could be a wedding crasher, I would be.
if you could be a what?
A wedding crasher.
Oh, man, you get your head bust open. Don't do that. You better stay in Orlando. Where my ladies? Where are my ladies this afternoon?
Oh, Lord, you're the only one, and I'm surprised. I mean, this is something they could all chime in on, and they're not here. Let's go to our first break, and maybe they'll come in after our first break.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
D, I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I was so outdone when I saw this particular article that there were people who were in the Bernie Sanders camp in the far left who were upset at the expensive trips that our president has been taking after leaving office, and how somehow he has done damage to the Democratic Party because of these lavish trips and these expensive getaways that he's been going on, and being involved and being friends with the very elite and the very rich. And I was thinking to myself, you know, is this one of the cases where people are saying this because they want Barack Obama to be a poor man, to act like he's underneath the rest of the presidents? I mean, outside of Jimmy Carter, and we know where Jimmy Carter came from, and he went back to his roots as a peanut farmer where his family came from and what he was familiar about. But the riches of the Bushes and the lavish ways the other presidents have lived, why in the world are they getting on the case of Barack Obama and the way he and his family enjoys life after the presidency? I tell you, I just cannot begin to understand the foolishness that comes out of people's mouth. This man and his wife got paid very well for a book that they're going to write. They've done very well with their money, and they're suggesting that they should live in a way that brings some kind of highlight to being modest. What is this craziness that is going on that these people continue to try to define who Barack and Michelle Obama are?
Well, James, we want to believe that racism is dead in America, but that goes to show you that it is not. Even persons of your own party, if they are of the fairer skin, then you're still supposed to go back in your place in the brown man, way of doing things. Unlike the Clintons, at least they didn't ravage the White House and take furniture out of the doggone place. They left there. They left the White House in an esteemed manner. They uphold that office in the greatest of dignity, unlike the current president. But you know, and I think that's why a lot of people voted for Donald Trump. They wanted to relish in the fact that they wish they could be as rich as he is or as he's supposed to be. And so for Barack and his wife to have landed this great book deal, That in itself, had put a bitter taste in most white America's taste buds. You're not supposed to be able to do anything. And we've already talked about that before. You know, they're not as creative as we are. And so there's a natural hatred there. And so that's my take on it.
I just find it amazing that this man can't go out and mind his own business and do parasailing or whatever else he wants to do with his family, rafting and going to the most marvelous places in the world. And if he has the ability to pay $2,000 a day or somehow be gifted these opportunities by people who know him and respect him, what in the world is their problem? I mean, these are the kind of photo shoots that inspire people to want to experience these kind of things. So why should he be walking around at a zoo or walking around doing some things that everybody can do? There's nothing inspirational about that. He is doing the kinds of things that can inspire people to get out and get busy and view and go see the world. And yet they have this thing where they're trying to make him behave like Jimmy Carter. That is Jimmy Carter, and even put that this man is not as old as Jimmy Carter was leaving office. He does not have the kind of demeanor that Jimmy Carter displayed. So why would you try to capitalize him as some kind of poor man or old man when he's youthful and he's rich? And there's nothing,
well, you know,
him and Michelle have nothing to be ashamed of.
You know, James, if we're not careful, there will probably be some black people that will want to ridicule him in the same way. I'm happy to say that I have not seen that happen. But in the past, you know, if they're well accomplished black persons that has left a stellar mark in society, then you know they have a tendency to want to throw that person on the bus also.
Yeah, and it's so sad because every man has the right to live his life the way he chooses to, and that America is not giving him nothing that he doesn't deserve. Every dime that he gets in pay, he deserves. They were complaining about him getting these large speaking engagements. He didn't put no gun to a man's head, and if a man wants to give me top dollar to speak, who in the world would tell? This is a capitalistic society. I mean, how can you at one point praise Donald Trump for his capitalistic riches and then get upset because Barack Obama capitalizes on his popularity and is able to get top dollar for his speaking engagements? That makes no sense to me.
Well, you know, they pay him because I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
I was going to say that people pay him top dollar, and other persons would want to ridicule him for obtaining top dollar for what he has to say, because people want to hear what he has to say. You know, I'm under the impression that since Barack had the opportunity to become president, he has a lot to tell. His story is going to be phenomenal on what he has learned since he has been in the Oval Office. So that's something that we all will be really willing to hear.
And part of the issue for Barack is he's also young. I mean, the fact is that he is young and youthful, and has every right to enjoy his young, youthful years doing the kinds of things that he's excited about. And he is a person who is who can really command an audience and entertain people and inspire people. That's why he's being paid this money, is because when he speaks, people enjoy the kinds of things that he says, and they are inspired by him and his spirit. And so I don't understand where this movement from the left is coming from to condemn him for his lifestyle. And certainly everywhere he goes, he takes his family with him, and he's not trying to act like some bachelor. So I don't know what their problem is, but they need to get, you know, I'm trying to tell them they need to back off, that this man has every right to spend the money that he's accumulated in any way that he wants.
Well, once again, you know, their focus is in the wrong place. If, you know, being, like you said, the Democrats are the ones that are doing all this ridicule. Their focus is in the wrong place. What they should be trying to be concerned about is trying to win these seats back and trying to win the White House back. If they're so busy about to criticize what he's doing, again, their focus is certainly in the wrong place.
Indeed, as always, you always bring the fact to the table, and you are so right. Instead of criticizing what camera ops he's doing, they need to be on their job trying to figure out how to bring white America back to the left and doing what is right for America, because these elections are coming up fast. And I don't know if we have the answer to what's going on in our society right now. I find it to be very disheartening myself that we don't have – I thought we were in a position to run the table for a while related to electing the president, and now I feel like we're in no man's land and have no idea when we're going to come out of this dark hole.
Well, a dark hole it is, you know, it's hard enough that we have to try to digest what's going on. As you can very well tell, the Trump administration and his surrogates, everybody in that administration is tweeting, and they have no protocol on how to do any of that. And they're about to upset a lot of people across the waters with all this tweeting going on. And they're going to tweet us right into a war. Watch and see.
Well, you know, I just saw where that Donald Trump had such low ratings. You know, when he was talking about he was going to bring us back where we were respected throughout the country, throughout the world, it is being suggested based on the polls that he is one of the most disrespected, unappreciated presidents ever existed. And so despite his rhetoric about making America great again, there are a lot of people who don't see him as someone that is inspirational, inspiring, but see us going in the opposite direction.
Well, they've been playing back on tapes about all the promises he made about how he was not going to cut Medicare, how he was going to make health care affordable, and all these lavish promises that he's made. And but the fact of the matter is that, you know, everything he said has been recorded, and he's not even close to even bringing us the any of those promises to some kind of realization. And I don't know what he's doing. I think a lot of his constituents are just as baffled. So, you know, I guess we were pretty much in a wait-and-see kind of situation.
Well, when he came out with these grandiose statements suggesting that he was going to end Americans dying in the streets, that he was going to do something with health care that had never been done before, and again, you're right, more people, millions and millions of people are going to be kicked off the health care rolls. Millions of people will find themselves in worse situations than they were before Obamacare, and yet this man was saying he was going to put an end to Americans dying in the streets, that his health care program was going to be the best, and that he was going to make sure that every American was healthy. Mm-hmm. So obviously he's already shown that he is nothing but a lot of wind, a lot of talk, and he continues to do what real politicians do. He may not have been a politician historically, but he's definitely one now with all that double talk that he does and that he can't get anything of substance through. The Supreme Court helped him to save face by giving him a temporary relief, but we'll have to see how they will vote in the very end. But it's obvious to me that his cronyism runs all the way through his administration, and that they're going to be one of the lousiest administrations ever because they're going to get little or nothing done in this present environment. We're going to have to see how steadfast the Republicans are related to demanding that their constituents get some kind of decent health care proposal. And right now, there doesn't seem to be one coming from the Republican Party.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, the actual proposal that they've made is about $1.5 billion in cuts that's going to be made. And but you know, white America don't realize that that's going to trickle down into some of the benefits that help keep emergency rooms open around the country. It's gonna hurt some of the senior citizen homes and the hospices, some of the care that they provide. So their mothers, their grandmothers and grandfather that stays in some of these senior facilities, they're going to be affected.
Well, I just don't understand how he can come right back and do some of the same things the Republican Party has done in the past, give all these huge tax cuts to the very rich who the least need it, and do it off of the backs of the poor and the middle class, and then white America sits quietly by while they get used and abused by the Republican Party over and over and over again. It just says so much about the kind of hatred that exists in white America that they let the Republican Party dog them out because somehow they believe that the African-American or people of color will get the worst end of the stick. It's just ridiculous that they can keep ramming these tax cuts through for the very rich, and while people who are out there earning middle-class wages are always stuck at the very end of the kind of support that they get. Regina, do you have any idea why white America continues to let the Republican Party give tax cuts to the rich that don't benefit the middle class?
I think that they have not, well, they had not come to the realization of how it affected them. Not until they looked at this health care bill, now you see Caucasian people are going to be just as affected. For instance, there's going to be in the bill that's not going to pass, the one that they're trying to push across now, not going to pass. They have something in there where if you are a health liability, in other words, if you are more likely to get sick than somebody else, then you'll be put in a special pool and your insurances will be higher. They don't have a pre-existing clause in there anymore. There are so many things that they don't have that white folk benefited from. Some of those Republican senators are saying, oh, wait a minute, hold on, like Dee just said, wait a minute, my mama benefits from that. She's over there in that senior assisted living facility. No, we can't do this. So they didn't know.
I just don't understand how they can be given to the tax break to the top 1% of America and be giving the back of their hand to hardworking Americans all over the country, and then it be accepted by those Americans. It is just becoming clear to me that when they talk about Barack Obama being out of touch, true party that is out of touch is the Republican Party. They continue to think that it's okay to give money back to those who benefited the most from these policies. So, Regina, I just don't understand these elected officials and what is, how they get to come back home and tell us how these things are in the best interest of the middle class.
I agree with you. Lindsey Graham had a town hall meeting, and whatever it was that he said at that town hall meeting, he's contradicting himself now in D.C. And these folks, they were at his office today picketing, and they cannot wait till he gets back in town. And guess what? It's not a lot of us down there picketing. It's the white folks.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, it has to come home and has to hit their pockets about how much is being taken away from them and how much is they're giving back to the very rich. I mean, the very rich have good health insurance, but you are depriving the middle class and the poor of the opportunity to see doctors and to be cared for.
And they don't care if it's anything that has Barack Hussein Obama's signature on it. They want it out. They do not care. Have you seen the latest controversy about President Obama? They're crazy.
The way he's living his life now.
Yes.
I mean, they want the man to live, so he's a poor man or something.
As someone said in the article, he worked hard to allow people to benefit from going to school, to becoming successful and being able to enjoy these things. So why shouldn't he enjoy them? What do they want him? Now, I don't know. Is there a certain thing that presidents are obligated to do once they leave the office?
Well, all of them.
Is there some obligation?
Library, and he's in the process of designing and raising money for his library. But right now, this man took time off for the first 6 months of his leaving office to enjoy his life, and the tax taxpayers are not paying for it. So why are they concerned about where he's going and what he's doing and how it looks? I love watching him and Michelle Obama love life to the fullest. And I expect and hope they're going to continue to do it for the rest of their lives.
You know, they're also upset because this presidential library that he's doing in Chicago is not the typical presidential library. It's going to be like a help center where people are going to come in. Yeah. So, you know, he's still out there in public service. And these folk do not like that he is still making such a huge impact on lives. And him, by him going and going parasailing, guess what? He's inspiring me to live a better life. He's inspiring me to enjoy things that I've only seen on television. And the motto is, why not me? Why not you? I'm a black man. Here is a beautiful black woman. We're parasailing. You can do it too. So we defy the expectations of these white folks.
I think that's the message you're descending.
It's pure old jealousy.
James, I'd like to add something.
Go ahead, D.
Yeah, I think that also what the message that they're sending is that you tried to destroy me. You tried to destroy my spirit. You tried to have my fellow man doubt me. Y'all talked about my wife. You talked about my kids. And still, I got through the 8 years. I didn't start a war, the war that you wanted me to start. And still, I walked away unscathed by the most part, and now I'm enjoying my life. And so, and then he might go down in history as one of the better presidents of all time. You got to hate that.
Regina, you weren't here when Dee and I was discussing. They made these comparisons between him and Jimmy Carter. And I think very positive of Jimmy Carter. But Jimmy Carter went back to the life that he embraced. He was always a country boy. And he was an older man. And he and his wife have enjoyed their life serving people, serving the poor, that has been a part of his life all of his existence. So to make that comparison, here you got this young black man who's leaving office, who is flown all around the world as a president, and he is still rejoicing and enjoying life to the fullest. And he's met some people who will allow him the opportunity to go places and that they're inviting him to, and he's living a lavish life that his children can enjoy and benefit from. And he and his wife have created an opportunity to be millionaires before it's all said and done. And I think people need to just close their mouth and, like Dee says, commit themselves to winning these Democratic offices back, both in the House and the Senate, and win some of these governor races. That's what the Democratic Party ought to be focused on and not worried about where Barack Obama is going on his vacation.
Well, they also, if it were not enough for them to say, well, he didn't do like Jimmy Carter, they also wanted to knock him down and compare him to the Bushes, who were what, all millionaires?
Yes.
So it wasn't enough for them to say that he wasn't humble like the Peanut Man, but Annie, not only is he not humble like the Peanut Man, and he still ain't got enough money to do what the Bushes do. So he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. They don't like the fact that his older daughter is in social services now.
she's out there doing things in Chicago, you know, socially. I don't mean, you know, in the, as a socialite, but helping
right.
the poor. And they don't like the fact that Michelle is a millionaire within her own right.
Well, you know, they
got
one of the biggest
about these people that they don't
ever.
Like.
Yeah. Well, let's go on our last break before the end of the show, and then we'll come back and give our last word.
Thinking back in time when love was only in my mind, I realized ain't no second chance. You got to hold on to romance, don't let it slide. There's a special kind of magic in the air when you find another heart that needs to share.
Just a thought, January 30th, 2017. I am a Democrat. I will be a Democrat beyond the existence of my physical being. I am a liberal because living in the past does not work for those that I serve. I believe in liberal causes because as I better understand the world, I understand the need for change. I live to honor humanity, to serve people who seem unable to grasp the life we should all have. I see the inequity of treatment and desire to see it abolished. The need for the blind to see has never been more necessary. Those who fight for the status quo cling to an era that turns the invisible visible. Embracing wrong can never give one a positive result. The fight for the weak can never be seen as embracing the defeat. We have to rectify the issues that are created by the human trait of racism and supremacy. My God is the creator of all things and the maker of humanity. My view of the world is in line with my purpose as a Democrat. I will not be ashamed of my love for people and the fight to make life equal. We all deserve better opportunities to learn and the chance to live life free of infirmities. We deserve to live free of the creation of Donald Trump. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. The show is brought to you 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 p.m. West Coast Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. We no longer can reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out in front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. This show has been established for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshaies.com. That's www.jamestdeshaies. I look forward to you writing to me at djames82@aol.com. That's djames82@aol.com. Let me know what issues you would like to address on my radio show.
There's one slight change to my new website address. It is now JamesTDeshaies2.com. Just add the number 2 on the end of my name, JamesTDeshaies2.com. We're going to, Regina, what is your final thought for today?
Black women are rocking it, and the world needs to embrace it. And why not us?
I'm liking what you're saying, Regina. Ain't nothing bad I can say about the inspiration everyone should be getting from Serena Williams' picture. It is over the top,
Michelle,
to say the least.
Michelle?
Yeah, that's true. Now, I don't think we'll get one of those pictures from Michelle anytime soon. But, I guess we got it from who we needed to get it from.
But to get it from her shoulders. She wears her shoulders out, and they always have something to say about that.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
We rocking, Jay. We rocking.
Dee, what is your final thought for this evening?
Well, my final thoughts is that, you know, in this Trump era, we have a lot of material that we can use to raise our kids by. They have given us a lot of material that we can use. One of which, no matter how you try to achieve in life, somebody always going to have something to say about you.
Mm-hmm.
And even in this Trump era, it's becoming clear now that it doesn't matter whether it's the Republican Party always going to have something to say. It looks like the people on the other side, even in our own party that we embrace, going to have something to say about your achievement. So pay it no mind. Your own self-image is in your hand. And so it is our responsibility to make sure that our children have a good, strong, and healthy self-image.
Mm-hmm.
You're so right. It's all about
us
making sure that we do what we have to do to overcome this adversity that exists right now and make sure that our children know the direction we want them to go in spite of some of the adverse situations that exist in our country. Those of you out there in the sound of my voice, I want you to know that we're on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I want you to call in at 657-383-0309 so that your voice can be heard loud and clear. Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is the platform designed so that your conversation or your thoughts and your opinions will not be filtered, that people will hear exactly what you're saying and know the direction you feel our country should go in. I look forward to you being a part of the show and know that we're here each and every day again at, from Monday to Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m., and we need your voice to be loud and clear. We need to show and design a movement that make it clear that we're not going away and we're here to be reckoned with. Talk to you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. Call in at 657-383-0309. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections with your host, James T. Deshay. And visit my website, jamestdeshay2.com, the number two. That is jamestdeshay2.com.
No matter what the people say, I can't let it go. Never stand in our way. We made a vow to love through it all. We are one, and no one has the right to tear my love. Sheltered me with your heart. There's no safer place than to be in love, and here I will stand. And there ain't never gonna never